again and welcome as we lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. If you've been searching for a place to be spiritually fed, you have found it. Like you, we believe the Holy Bible contains the spiritual nourishment we need to become faithful servants God requires to help grow His kingdom here on earth. This program is part of an outreach ministry from Shepherd Church, located in Los Angeles, California. Our teaching pastor is Dudley Rutherford, and we join him right now with today's message.
You see this asterisk and this asterisk? Those two books were both written by Luke. Luke wrote Luke, and Luke wrote Acts. And I want you to write this down. Acts is the first book after the four Gospels. Write that down. It's the first book after the four Gospels. It's a history of the New Testament church. And if you're sitting here today and you're a believer, you are a part of the New Testament church. Okay? I'll explain that a little more in just a few moments. But Luke writes both Luke and Acts. So Luke, this guy here, he was a doctor. How many of you have a doctor? How many of you don't have a doctor? You need a doctor. Luke, this guy here, was a tax collector. No, or he was a fisherman. But Luke was a doctor. So Dr. Luke, what do you know about doctors? They're very exact. They don't say, well, here's kind of what I think you ought to do. Oh, they're very detailed. So Luke, being a doctor, he writes everything that Jesus, his life. And then, at this point, he writes a second book. So the book of Luke is part one. The book of Acts is part two. How many of you are tracking with me? What I want you to do, write this down. Acts is a written record of the disciples' fulfilling of the Great Commission. The entire book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament, is a written record of the disciples doing these four things right here. So Jesus tells them right before he goes, fellas, I'm out of here. I did my job. I went to the cross. I died. I was buried. I resurrected. Now I'm going back. And what I want you to do while I'm gone, I'm coming back, but while I'm gone, I want you to go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey. And then Jesus leaves. And then as you read the book of Acts, what you see are those disciples doing the things that Jesus asked them to do. Now, turn to page 19. On the left-hand side, page 19, is kind of a general walk through the book of Acts. They start in Acts 1:15. They only got 120 people. That's all there are. Everybody else left. They saw Jesus die. They were gone. There's 120 people. Then in Acts 2 verse 41, some 3,000 people come, give their life to the Lord, and they're all baptized. Let's give them a hand. Okay. This booklet is actually dedicated to those 3,000 people. And then by the time you get to Acts 2:47, the Bible says they were having daily conversions. What does that mean? That means folks weren't just getting saved on Sunday. There were people getting saved on Monday, people getting saved on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It wasn't just once a week. It was happening every day. And by the time you get to Acts 4:4, the Bible says that there were 5,000 men that were saved. We went from 3,000, now there's 5,000. And if we just, you know, they used to count, ladies, don't be offended by this, they used to just count men. But we figure they had wives, so now you're up to 10,000. They probably had a couple kids, So by the time you get to Acts 4:4, there's probably 15, 20, 30,000 Christians by then. They started off with just 120. How was the church growing so rapidly? Well, the disciples were fulfilling Jesus' last commission to go make disciples and baptize them. Now, if you look down at Acts 9, verse 42, it says that there were many in Joppa. Everybody say Joppa. There were many in Joppa, which is right outside Tel Aviv. Many people in Joppa they believed in the Lord. If you go down to Acts 11, verse 21, it says, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 11, 24, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Acts 14, verse 21, a large number of disciples. In other words, it basically saying, hey, there were a bunch of people that got saved that day. However, in the book of Acts, go to page 20 in your notes. There's a chart there. There are 10 what we call conversion stories in the book of Acts. This is where Luke the doctor gives a written, detailed description of exactly what happened to that person. For example, next weekend when we baptize hundreds of people, you'll be able to say, hey, you should have been at Shepherd. There were lots of people that got saved. Okay. There could be 300, there could be 400. What if we had 3,000? That would be cool. But that doesn't tell you, if I say, hey, a bunch of people got baptized or a bunch of people believed in the Lord, it doesn't tell you the details of what happened to that individual. But 10 times in the book of Acts, Luke, the doctor, writes a detailed description of exactly what happened to them. Thus, this chart. The Bible, and we'll talk more about this next week, the Bible talks about believing, it talks about repenting, it talks about confessing, it talks about being baptized. And so we put this chart together so that you can sit down and read these 10 conversion stories and you can put the check marks where they belong to know what they did to be saved. So, for example, the very first one, the 3,000, you read through the text and you'll see that it says it in the text. It's in the text that they believed. Put a check mark there. It says that they repented. You weren't there, but Luke was there. And Luke is writing all this down. They believed. They repented. It does not say that they confessed. Do you know that? You say, how do you know that? Because I read the story. Now, did they confess? Well, I assume they did. I don't know what happened. All I know is that Luke, the doctor, says that they believed and they repented and that they were baptized. I do know that because that's what's written down. Then you go to the Samaritans in Acts 8 there. You read it, you don't need the preacher, you read it. It says that they believed. Oh, put a check mark. Because that's what they did. Not the Californians, the Samaritans. Now, it does not say that they repented, so you can't put a check mark down there. Did they repent? Well, I think they did. I wasn't there. All I know is that Luke said that they believed and that they were baptized. So check, put two checks there. Don't make stuff up. You check what the Bible says. How many of you are with me so far? So I want you to do the whole chart. In fact, I'm going to give you a head start. Show the next slide. As quickly as you can. Come on, put those check marks in there. I want you this next week to sit down and study these 10 conversion stories and you double check. And you can actually put a double check if you want. And you'll see in every single case, every person that we have a detailed story, like the Ethiopian eunuch, or Saul of Tarsus, Cornelius. This is not, hey, people at Joppa believed. No. When you look at the story, study the story of Lydia and see what she did. And my conclusion, you say, what's your conclusion? Well, my conclusion is that every single one of them, the only thing that is common in all 10 is that they were all baptized. It's a record of the disciples fulfilling, obeying Jesus' command to go into the whole world, make disciples, and to baptize them, right? But we got to go back to this question. Even though every conversion story in the book of Acts, they were baptized. Preacher, do I still have to be baptized? Do I need to do this? You come back next week. But I want to tell you a couple things. When I read, this is me, not you, but when I read all those passages on page 31, when I read all the passages on baptism, and then I study, which we have, that moment where Jesus, as he initiates his ministry, is baptized, and the voice of God says, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus at his baptism. And then his last words were to go into the whole world, make disciples, and baptize people into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then when I read through the book of Acts, where the disciples that were there that heard those words as they traveled the known world and the unknown world, and every single conversion story in the book of Acts, they were baptized. And I look at the 8 consequential divine connections that we looked at in week 2 of our series. I'm just telling you, I cannot tell you that the words cannot come out of my mouth that it has nothing to do with salvation. Now, maybe you can say that. I'm just telling you, I can't. And the exact same thing is true. When I read all those passages, I cannot tell you, oh, no, that's how you get saved, is if we get you dumped. If I believed that if I could baptize you, that would mean you're saved, I just want you to know I'd have 10 guys and we'd grab you right now and bring you over here and throw you in here. You'd be yelling. You'd be swinging. Many of you would be cussing. You'd be biting. And we'd just grab you and we'd just throw you in there. If I believed getting you baptized saved you. If I believed sprinkling saved you. How many of you were sprinkled when you were a baby? Raise your hand. It's okay. I told you half this church is Catholic. Look. Raise them up again. Look around. Okay. So it's not just you. But if I believe sprinkling saved you, I'd get the entire youth group. I'd give them each a squirt gun. We'd go over here to the baptistry, and we'd fill the squirt guns up with holy water. And then I would take the kids down to Northridge Mall. We'd go up on the second level. And I would instruct those kids, as people walk by, you just say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you squirt them. So, I don't believe getting you dunked saves you. So, Pastor, what do you believe? You've got to come back next week. Now, the number one argument that I've been told my whole, I hear it everywhere, on why I don't need to be baptized. There's one argument that everybody gives. And the argument is, whoops. Are you with me? The argument is, what about the thief on the cross? That guy was never baptized. You'd be correct. So that means I don't have to be baptized. No, that'd be a wrong conclusion there on your behalf. I want you to understand something theological. That at this point, Jesus had never ever sinned. He did not deserve to be. Now, the thief on the cross, he deserved to be up there. And that day, he said to the Lord, remember me. And Jesus turned to the thief on the cross and said, today you will be with me in paradise. That is grace. We see grace given to that thief on the cross. What you need to understand is a couple things. One is the very fact that Jesus is on the cross is grace to you. But theologically speaking, Jesus hasn't died yet. He hasn't been buried yet. And he hasn't resurrected. That won't take place for 3 more days. And under the old covenant, under the old law, that found a person guilty by the law, even in the old covenant, Jesus was giving grace towards that thief on the cross. Amen? Amen. Amen. You and I do not live on that side of the cross. We do not even live in the same dispensation as the thief on the cross. You and I live on this side of the cross. All right? It's still grace. It's still grace. We'll explain that more next week. But you can't use the fact that the thief was never baptized as a proof text that I don't need to be baptized, because that's a whole different set of situation and circumstances, because the church that you and I are a part of doesn't even begin till after the death, after the burial, after the resurrection, after the ascension, and not until the disciples are in the upper room and the Holy Spirit falls and fills them with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they then go out, page 19 in your book, and these ordinary, unschooled, uneducated men, they turn the world upside down, going, making disciples, and baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I should stop while I'm ahead, but the question is, what happens if I decide to get baptized and I die? I have a heart attack while I'm back here. I'm walking over here and I have a heart attack right here. What happens to me? I don't know. There's only one person that knows the answer to that question. And you say, well, here's what I think. Well, I appreciate what you think, and I can tell you what I think. But there's only one person who really knows the answer to that question. I argued with someone last night. Well, this is what I think. Yeah, but you're not God. What happens to the person who says, okay, I'm going to do it, but they never get around doing it and they die? What happens to that person? Only God knows. Now, as I've studied the scriptures, do you know most times God does opposite of what I think? You ever thought about that? I mean, because a lot of times God is this very, sometimes God is very strict. Like the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God, God said you're not supposed to touch it, and it started to fall and was going to crash, and some guy reached out to study study it and help it from crashing. And God struck him dead. It's like, oh, God, chill out. He was just trying to help you. I wouldn't have struck that guy dead. But did God? Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira. In the New Testament, they lied about what they gave. No one's in here ever lied about what you gave. But they lied. They actually sold some land and brought it to the church. Says, here's some money. But it wasn't the full amount of what they said they gave. And God struck them. God, chill out. They gave a gift. Why are you striking them dead? And sometimes I see a situation where I think, God, you need to really come down hard on that person. God says, no, 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 you go and sin no more. So I cannot tell you what God is going to do or not do. He's God. It's not my job to tell you. My job is to tell you what's in the Bible. And the Bible says that Jesus said to go into the whole world, make disciples, and baptize them. My job is to tell you that. The judging and all that, that's up to God. I will never argue with you, ever, on at what point are you saved. Is it when I step out? Is it when I walk down here? Is it when I walk down into the water? Is it when my head goes under the water? Is it when my head comes up out of the water? Is it when I walk out of the baptistry? Is it when I get all wiped off dry? At what point am I saved? Listen, only God knows at what point your faith is put into His grace. God knows at that point. And that's when you're saved.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. We have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/ and then the word reach. We have a special gift for everyone listening today to help with your daily Bible reading. It's our Anchored Journal, a complete 365-day Bible reading guide and journal that will help you stay connected to God's Word throughout the coming year. It works with any version of the Bible you are currently reading. The Anchored Journal comes in a choice of colors and can be yours right now for a gift of any size to the Lift Up Jesus ministry. It's as simple as calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. You won't want to miss out on this limited time offer, so be sure to call right now. Our number again is 888-818-4777. The Anchored Journal can also be found on our website, liftupjesus.com. That address again is liftupjesus.com. Get yourself anchored to God's Word with your personal Anchored Journal today.
On Wednesday, January 25th, Shepherd Church presents The Passion Play, a dramatic retelling of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the first time ever, The Passion Play will air on broadcast television this Easter. On January 25th, Shepherd Church will be doing a live recording that is open to the public. Admission is free. We hope to pack the house as we prepare to present the gospel message. See you January 25th at 7 p.m. for The Passion Play. For more information, visit PassionPlayLive.com.
I'm Kyle Welch, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this same time as we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.